Eov chapter 36. Hello, my name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Eov Perek Lamed Vav, chapter 36. To recap, chapter 35. In the last chapter, Elihu discussed the third theme, the nature of God versus the nature of man. And we saw that Elihu states that God's actions are always just, and he is all-powerful, and we have to trust that his judgments are never haphazard. We also discussed Elihu according to the Rambam, Maimonides. In his view, Elihu is teaching that true wisdom and knowledge is attained only when man realizes and acknowledges that God's knowledge is very different from ours, and providence and actions are not like man's. Once man knows this, that he cannot fathom God, then humans can move forward and move on to loving God without the worry of the philosophical dilemma of divine providence. In our chapter, chapter 36, we will learn Elihu's fourth response to Eov. There are two sections to this response. But the main idea in this section is Elihu's definition of divine discipline. God is always just in his dealings with humanity. People who are evil, Rishaim, they do get their recompense and are punished, says Elihu. And the good people who suffer, like Eov, and who receive torment, they're not receiving torment and suffering because they sinned. But these sufferings are always for the good of the person who is suffering, even though humans do not understand it and cannot explain why. Eov, who kept on claiming that even though God is so omnipotent and omniscient and all-knowing and all-powerful, is not dealing justly in the world? Elihu responds to that God is omniscient and omnipotent, but in a way that is beyond the knowledge of humans. So definitionally, God is beyond the comprehension of man and will always act in a just manner that man cannot evaluate. Again, God is always just. We just don't understand God and how he behaves. Because it's beyond our reasoning, we just have to accept that God's justice is an a priori, a theoretical deduction, not something from observation. We just have to accept it. God deals only justly in the world, and God is beyond our understanding. And we have to live with that. So if you connect all the ideas that Elihu presents, you see a larger pattern. Number one, suffering is a message from God, and it spares humans from worse outcomes if you take the message of the suffering. The second theme that Elihu advances is the theme of divine justice. Nothing's random, and God is always just. The third theme is we can't evaluate God by what happens on earth. Man must behave morally because it's the right thing to do, not because we know exactly how God will respond to us. God's actions are always just, and he is all-powerful, and we have to trust that his judgments are never haphazard. In the end of this chapter, Elihu sings a song about the reign and the omnipotence of God. Verses 22 to 28. Hen el yaskiv bekocho mi kamo more. God's beyond reach. Who can govern like him? Who can ever criticize God? Well, we just look at God's works and see how amazing they are. Kol adam chazuvo enosh yabit merachok. All men beheld and saw from a distance that God is greater than we can know. Hen el sagi velo neda, mispar shanav velo cheker. God is greater than we can know, and the numbers of his years cannot be counted. Again, Elihu is trying to say, God is beyond our understanding. He's in a different realm, so we can't even fathom God on any level. And we can't even understand how he makes rain and how he changes the weather and how he brings thunder. And then the rest is a description about the rain and nature. To sum up, part one is Elihu's definition of divine discipline. God is always just, and God pays the evil Rasha'im, and they get their recompense. And good people who suffer, it's not because necessarily they sinned. It's not a punishment, but they're a message that even though we do not understand it, because God's existence and the way he acts is beyond our understanding, we just have to accept it, but also try to move closer to God and know that there is justice in the world. Elie Wiesel many times discussed Job. I would like to read a little piece from his story, A Plea for the Dead. A survivor explains his relationship with Eov. I prefer to take my place on the side of Job, who chose questions and not answers, silence and not speeches. Job never understood his own tragedy, which after all was only that of a man betrayed by God. To be betrayed by one's fellow men is much more serious. Yet the silence of this man, alone and defeated, lasted for 7 days and 7 nights. Only afterward, when he identified himself with his pain, did he feel he earned the right to question God. Confronted with Job, our silence should extend beyond the centuries to come. And we dare speak on behalf of our knowledge? We dare say, I know this is how and why victims were victims and executioners executioners. We dare interpret the agony and anguish, the self-sacrifice before the faith and the faith itself of 6 million human beings, all named Job. Who are we to judge them? The Holocaust survivor clings to Job and tries to interpret him. It's very difficult. How do you explain the suffering? How do you explain why the Holocaust happened? As Elie Wiesel says, maybe you can't. There can't be any answers. Or do we try to have answers for these big questions? In the next chapter, chapter 37, Elihu will continue his response to Eov. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.